This morning's scripture reading is taken from John 4, 4 through 14. John 4, 4 through 14. Now he had to go through Smyrna. So he came to a town in Smyrna called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask for me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. I'd like to ask you if you would turn back to our passage that we have been reading from, John the 4th chapter. You know, if there is one thing that is absolutely essential to life that we often take for granted, it's water, specifically clean drinking water. You know, we're so spoiled. Our supply of water seems to be limitless. You just go to the sink anytime you want to and draw water from the tap. You know, we have become so spoiled. You go to the store and you see that there's a whole section of water. And so you can get water that has had minerals added to it. You can get water that is flavored. You can get water that is spring water, well water, just whatever it is that you are looking for. I never thought I would see the day where we would pay so much for something that we grew up essentially thinking was usually free. I was really more impressed with bottled water until I learned what PWS meant on the list of ingredients. And so I was looking at a rather expensive bottle of designer water, and it said PWS on it. And I thought, what in the world's PWS? And so I kind of investigated a little bit further, and I found that PWS meant public water supply. So in other words, it meant that somebody else's tap water was being used, and you were paying for it. Well, obviously, not everyone in the world is so blessed. Although 4/5 of the earth's surface is covered by water, precious little of it is suitable to drink. There are third world countries in which the only sources of water are generally polluted because the same streams that are used for washing, the same streams that are used for getting water to water crops and things of this nature are filled with waste. And so basically the water makes it impossible for you to have pure water, clean water to drink. There are also regions that are arid and do not receive rain. The wilderness regions of Palestine in Jesus' day would have been one such place. In such a place, water is a daily concern. You would have to find ways. You would have to find a source of water. You would have to find ways to obtain it. You would have to find ways to carry it and store it. That would have been especially true when you were traveling. Well, we are told that Jesus, in his travel, had come to Samaria. Our text begins, Jesus was going through Samaria. We're all somewhat familiar with the attitudes and prejudice that existed between the Jews and the Samaritans. This woman stated the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. It was around 6 o'clock. Jesus was weary from his travels. The disciples had gone into the city to seek for food. As Jesus sat by the well, he observed a woman of Samaria who had come to draw water. You know, how often do we find ourselves in a public situation surrounded by people and never give them a second thought, standing in line at the grocery store, sitting on a plane, or falling into a stadium for a football game? We're literally surrounded by people so much that they almost become invisible. And yet not to Jesus. Here was a woman, a Samaritan woman. No Jewish rabbi would have ever spoken to someone in a setting where he was not there to teach. He would never have spoken to a woman in any setting, but Jesus knew that here was a person with a great need. She had a need for salvation, and that's why he came. He came to seek and to save the lost. And so Jesus asked her, "Give me a drink." Now, she was surprised. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? She was probably somewhat offended. She probably thought, he wouldn't even be talking to me if he didn't need something. But Jesus was talking to her because he needed something. He was not talking to her because he needed something. He was talking to her because he had something to give her. Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given unto you living water." Now, she didn't understand what he was talking about. How could she? She was focused on the physical. She was the one who had access to the water. Jacob had dug this well. The Samaritans had remained in that area. She had come across, she had access to the well. She had brought a bucket or a pot from which to draw from the well. Jesus had neither. And so she asked, "Where do you get that living water?" And as far as that goes, what did Jesus mean by living water? He answered and he said unto her, verses 13 and 14, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. For the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life." But she still doesn't understand. She said, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst or come here to draw." She was confused, and we may be too. What was Jesus telling her? What is this living water that he has to offer? How can we obtain it so that we will never thirst again? Now, obviously, Jesus spoke of that which is spiritual. You know, man has a dual nature. We have a physical body, but within that temporal, fleshly, corruptible body, we have an eternal soul, created in the image of God. We find reference to this over and over again in the Scripture. We are told of this that when God created man, that the Lord formed in man, that the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground, the physical man, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we live in a fleshly, physical body. It is our tabernacle. It is our tent. It is a temporary dwelling place. Our physical body has physical needs. We need air to breathe and food to eat and water to drink. We need shelter and clothing to protect us from the elements. But when this body has served its purpose, when this body has been used up, we will die. But death is not the end of us. But Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." So what this woman failed to understand was that Jesus was speaking to her about spiritual life. Just as we need physical water to sustain physical life, We need spiritual water to sustain spiritual life. You know, that's why people in this world are so often unhappy, unsatisfied, and discontent, because they are feeding their bodies and starving their soul. The spiritual part of man cannot be satisfied by physical things. We have a spiritual longing within us. We have an empty place that C.S. Lewis described as a God-shaped hole within our soul. In other words, we have needs, spiritual needs, that only God can fulfill. This need for God, this longing for Him, is described in Scripture as a thirst. David wrote in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God." The spiritual part of man cannot be satisfied by physical things. As Jesus told this woman, whoever drinks of this water, the physical water, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Most of the things that people do in this life are done seeking for something to make them happy or content or fulfilled, something that will satisfy. But the spiritual part of man cannot be satisfied by physical things. Look at the ways that people in this world are seeking to fulfill the emptiness inside of them. Some think that they will find happiness in wealth and possessions, but there's no fulfillment to be found in wealth. One of the most interesting quotes that I have found is a quote by J.P. Getty, who was the wealthiest man a few generations ago, wealthiest man in the world. And so someone asked him, how much money does someone need to be satisfied? And here was a man who was lacking in nothing, the man who was wealthier than anyone else, when he was asked, how much wealth does a man have to be satisfied? His answer was, a little more than he has. In other words, that wealth was never going to satisfy him. Solomon, of course, was wealthier than anyone before him had ever been. And the Queen of Sheba had heard of him, and so she had wanted to see for herself. And so she traveled to where he was, and she observed everything that he had. She observed his life, and she responded by saying, the half of it had not been told. And so Solomon was a man who had everything that anyone could have. In Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, after listing a brief inventory of everything that he had, his response in looking at all of these material things was, he said, it's all vanity, grasping after the wind. He also said in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. And so then Solomon sought for happiness in worldly achievement, in power and in fame. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Solomon said, look, I have attained greatness. I have more wisdom than those who were before me. This too is grasping after the wind. Some people try to fill the emptiness of life with fun, excitement, new experiences. There are some who continually want to go somewhere they have never been or do something they have never done. They are constantly seeking to be entertained and amused. Well, Solomon also found that there's no solution, there's no answer to our empty soul in things such as amusement. And so he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, he said, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear with hearing. That which is that which will be, that which is done is that which will be done. And there is nothing anew under the sun. Is there anything of which it can be said, this is new? And Solomon, so he recognized that you're not going to be able to find something new all the time. You're not going to find something new to do, something that is amusing or exciting, because in reality, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing of which it can be said, this is new. Some people try to fill up the emptiness in life with excess. They turn to self-destructive behavior, Life is a party, drinking, drugs, sexual immorality. Again, Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I said to my heart, I will try mirth, enjoy pleasure, but surely this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is madness. What does it accomplish? I sought how to satisfy my flesh with wine. And so even at that point, Solomon found that there was nothing he could do of a physical nature that could satisfy that spiritual longing within him. So Jesus knew, as Solomon found, that the physical things in life will never satisfy the spiritual longings within a man. And so Jesus said to this woman of that physical water, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Well, the Samaritan woman still did not understand. She was still looking for something that would fill her physical needs. And so she said, give me this water that I might not thirst nor come here to draw, in verse 15. And Jesus had a very interesting response for her. Jesus said, go call your husband. You know, Jesus was getting personal. He went to the heart of the matter. Many people are seeking to fill that empty place in their lives and are not even aware of it. Apparently, this woman was looking for the solution to her emptiness, to her unhappiness in relationships. And so Jesus pointed this out to her. If you want to know more about this, go and call your husband. And she said, I have no husband. Well, she was right. Jesus pointed out that she had had five and now was with a man to whom she was not married. If there is any way that this account relates directly to our society today, this is it. There are people that think that if they find a relationship with if a woman finds a relationship with a man, or if a man finds a relationship with a woman, or if they can't find a relationship that way, then the woman will look for a relationship with another woman, or a man will look for a relationship with another man. Divorce and remarriage is rampant. If it doesn't work out, then just move on to someone else, or just live together. Sexual promiscuity is rampant. I was talking some years ago to a young woman. I hadn't really known her. I had known of her family. She had been raised in the church, but as soon as she was grown, she had left the church. She still had family members in the congregation where I was preaching. She looked me up because she was empty. She was troubled. Her life was going wrong. In the course of the conversation that we had, she said to me that she had had at least 50 different sexual partners. She was in her late 20s. And she had been married 3 times, and those marriages had failed. Now she was suffering physically, emotionally, spiritually at this time. And she said there was no way that she could understand or find fulfillment in a marriage relationship. She basically had destroyed her concept of what it meant to have a mate for life. And she said, I know that I could never find fulfillment or even find a marriage relationship. She said, I've tried, I just can't stop. And so her lifestyle had taken complete control of her life. And as Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But look what Jesus was offering to this Samaritan woman. The woman who had tried and failed to discover the meaning of life, who didn't know the things that God had prepared for those who love and serve Him. And so Jesus said to her in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says, give me to drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Because of Jesus' knowledge of her, She was persuaded that that she should listen to him. She pointed out to those that she told, come see a man who told me everything that I've ever done. She was persuaded that because of this intimate knowledge that Jesus had of her, that he certainly could be the Christ. And so she said, come and see the man who told me everything that I've ever done. What did Jesus want her to know? What did Jesus have to offer her and to all mankind? Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And so what is God's gift? Well, the gift of God is Jesus himself is the gift of God. He is the gift of God. John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. To a world of men and women who are wandering aimlessly through life, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Those who are empty and unfulfilled, to those who are empty and unfulfilled, he came to give life and give it abundantly. John chapter 10 and verse 10. He offers to us forgiveness of sin, salvation, reconciliation to God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, after telling those on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, we are told that with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. The world is lost and going nowhere. At least nowhere that you want to go, nowhere that I want to go. The world is following after Satan, and the world in following after Satan is going to end up where he is going to be. If we follow Satan in this world, we will spend eternity with him in hell. Well, God doesn't want that, and that's why he gave us his Son. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, Paul said, thanks be to God for his his indescribable gift. So God's gift to us is his Son, the salvation Jesus died to purchase for us. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we read, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, being his Son, and who it is who says to give me to drink, you would have asked him, you would have asked me, and I would have given you living water. What is this living water? It's spiritual life. Salvation is just the beginning of what Jesus has to give us. Too many times when we look at Jesus, we think only about our past and our future. We look at our past and know that he's forgiven us. We look at our future and know that that we one day can be with him eternally in heaven. But what does he give us today? What is this life? To help us and to sustain us and fill us up and make us whole. He gives us spiritual life. He called it living water. Actually, we don't have to wonder what Jesus meant by living water because he tells us in John the 7th chapter, we are reading there of how Jesus stood and he cried out, verse 37 and 38, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke according to the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And so what is this living water? What is the gift of God that Jesus promised that he would give to us? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the same gift that Peter spoke of on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus spoke of living water, he spoke of spiritual life. He spoke concerning the Spirit whom those who believe in him would receive. This is confirmed by the words of Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah chapter 41, verses 3 and 4. Says, I will pour water out upon he who is thirsty. I will pour my Spirit out on your and your members and your offspring. You know, it's amazing to me that Christians can talk about having spiritual life without recognizing the role of the Holy Spirit. The gift of God is the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell in the heart and the life of a Christian, who produces all manner of spiritual blessings in our life. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. When we begin to walk with Jesus, when we follow his teaching and live by his words, then we will have peace. We will grow to be patient and kind and gain control of our flesh. When we have spiritual life, we will walk with Jesus. We cannot want for more. Whoever drinks of this water, whoever fills their life with fleshly, physical things will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that Christ will give us will never thirst again. The water that I shall give him will be a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. The invitation of Jesus is for salvation, but it's even more. It's for spiritual life, the life that we thirst after and long for. In Revelation 21 and verse 6, we read where Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. Revelation 22 and verse 17 says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. We're getting ready to sing an invitation hymn that expresses this well. There's a fountain free. 'Tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come? Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. Jesus has promised us living water, spiritual life, which when we have, we will never want for more. We will never thirst again. This morning, if there are any in our assembly that need to respond to this offer of our Lord, any who need to respond to this offer of eternal life and spiritual life, we would encourage you to come while together we stand and while we sing.